Okay, so in fact, let me just think. Straight lines. So normally in Euclidean geometry, the shortest distance between two points, or a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. In Minkowskian geometry, a straight line is the longest distance between two points. Okay, and it has to do with that minus sign. Okay, so let's take some examples here. So we start out same numbers here. So 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so Alice just stays at rest on the Earth, and Bob takes a trip. But in this case, the trip is to some place really close by, like the moon. Okay, so he takes a trip to the moon, and then he comes back. Okay, so he's got like, you know, 10 days to do it. And so his speed is very small. He's got lots of time to make a trip of small distance. So his speed is very small compared to the speed of light. Okay, so there's going to be very little time dilation. Okay, so if this is 5 days for Alice, Alice says, yeah, Bob, it took you 5 days to get to the moon. On Bob's watch, it might be like 4.9 days. And then 4.9 here, so it'll be 9.8. So it'll be almost the same. Okay, very little time dilation. Okay, now if we go to in the same 10 days or 10 years or whatever, we go to a more distant object, okay, where we have to travel close to the speed of light. So the speed of light is 45 degrees. So we're going slightly less than the speed of light, like that, and then slightly less than the speed of light back. Okay. So now, because the distance is so great, we have to cover a really great distance in just 5 years or whatever. We're going nearly the speed of light. There's a great amount of time dilation. So 5 years, so Alice says, yeah, it took you 5 years to get to that distant planet. But because of the huge time dilation on your watch, it might be, say, you know, I don't know, say one or half. Half a year back, so for a total of one. Okay, so Alice would have aged 10 years and Bob would have aged just 1 year. Okay, and then the extreme case is basically moving at the speed of light. Okay, now, massive object can't move at the speed of light, but photons can. Okay, so here is Alice. She watches a photon travel for 5 years away from her. So she clicks on her flashlight, photon travels out for 5 years. What distance does it cover? 5 light years. Okay, so this is 45, so that's 5, then that's 5. Okay, and what's the distance here? 0, because we calculate this distance by taking this side squared minus that side squared. So 5 squared minus 5 squared is just 0. Okay? So this distance here, as this line tilts more and more towards 45, this distance gets shorter and shorter and shorter, because what we're doing is we're taking, to get the length of this in space-time, we take this squared minus this squared. As this thing approaches 5, that approaches 0. Okay, and that's the importance of the minus sign. That minus sign, we're going this squared minus this squared, and that minus sign results in this time dilation. This thing getting smaller and smaller and smaller, this distance getting smaller and smaller and smaller as you approach the speed of light. So basically, light rays have zero length, okay, in any space-time. Okay, so if this is, say, our galaxy, and this is the Andromeda galaxy, and a photon gets sent out to the Andromeda galaxy, okay, from our point of view, how long does it take that photon to get there? From our point of view, how long does it take a photon? I click on a flashlight. How long would that photon take to get to Andromeda? So Andromeda is about 2.5 million light years. Okay, so we got 2.5 million years. Okay, but for this photon, the photon gets there like that, instantly, in zero time. Okay, so the photon experiences, so the photon as it travels, like if you think about cosmic microwave background photons, which came from you know, very early on in the universe, and they've been traveling through empty space for 14 billion years, according to our time. They've seen a lot, and but they've seen it all instantly, all together, all at once. Yeah, that's right. So it's like that for them. Yeah.
Is that a kind of teleport?
It's not a kind of teleport, no. But I wonder if we're going to have time to talk about teleportation.
No.
In fact, yeah, I think we might have. Yeah, yeah, we will. Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay, so just one quick thing. Yep.
I was just going to ask, I don't know if it can move faster than the speed of light, but if it does, does that mean that it goes backwards in time, since it would be negative?
Not quite. Well, let's look at that. So, here's something subluminal. Here's something moving at superluminal speed. So, in a sense, well, it's actually not true, because this is now a distance in space, as we'll see shortly. But in order to go backwards in time in a space-time diagram, what are you doing? Basically, so you're starting forward in time. And to go backwards in time, somehow you got to get, like that. You got to be doing that sort of thing. Okay, so even though you're going faster than the speed of light here, you're not going backwards in time. But we will talk about this faster than speed of light and why it's a bit problematic when we talk about relativity of simultaneity. Okay, so just one quick thing. So here's a more realistic picture. In this picture, what we've done is we've had Alice at rest and Bob moving at a constant velocity, and then instantly, so he's moving at, you know, I don't know, like 4/5 the speed of light to the right, and then in zero time, he's then moving at 4/5 the speed of light in the other direction. Can you imagine what sorts of G forces he might be experiencing during that slight interval there? Okay, so to make this a bit more realistic, we might draw a picture like this. So Bob starts out on the Earth at rest. Okay, so he's in his rocket ship on the launch pad at rest. So his world line is vertical. And then he starts to pick up speed. So what's going to happen to his world line? It's going to curve. Okay? When he's at zero velocity, it's vertical. And as his velocity picks up, it's going to bend over like this. Okay, so it's going to curve like this. Okay, until so while his world line is curving like this, that means he's accelerating. Okay, the tilt of his world line starts out at zero. It gets more and more tilted as he approaches the speed of light. Okay, so at this point here, so this is accelerate here. Okay, now that he's up to 4/5 the speed of light or whatever, he shuts off his rocket engine and he coasts. Okay, so what's his world line look like? Straight line, so there's no acceleration, straight line. So here he coasts out to the planet, and then he fires his retro rockets and he slows down. So what happens to his world line? Okay, so it used to be 4/5 the speed of light like this, it's going to tilt back to zero. Okay, so to tilt back to zero, the slope changes from 4/5 to speed of light down to zero. Okay, so here he's decelerating. Okay, now he's at the planet, and he spends a bit of time at that planet. He spends a couple days. What's his world line? Just straight up. Okay, so this is his visit. And he just stands on the planet like this, not moving, looking around for a couple days. And then he gets back in his rocket. And then what? Okay, so he accelerates, so his speed needs to now go from zero up to some velocity back. So it starts tilting over like this, so here he's accelerating back. And then constant velocity, he coasts. And at this point, he sees the Earth coming up at him at 4/5 the speed of light and says, we better apply the brakes. So he fires his retro rockets and he reduces his speed. And then he's on here. Okay. So this is a more realistic trip. This is a trip that involves acceleration. Okay. But special relativity doesn't have a problem with acceleration. Okay. So from Alice's point of view, Here's her clock ticking away, tick, 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 tick. The years go on. And for Bob, what we see is this. When he first starts out, his world line is nearly parallel with Alice's. And so when 1 year lapses for Alice, nearly 1 year lapses for Bob, and so on and so forth. Okay, but when we get to this part over here, where his world line is pretty tilted compared to Alice's, there's a lot of time dilation happening. So when 1 year elapses for Alice, much less than 1 year will elapse for Bob. Okay, so his world line, the ticks of his clock might look something like this. There might be just, say, 1 year between there and there, whereas it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years for Alice. Okay, and then here, when his world line starts tipping back to being vertical, the spacing, the ticks on his clock start going back to match Alice's. So now when he's at rest on that planet, then those, when 1 year elapses for Alice, 1 year elapses for Bob. And then he takes off again, and the tick marks start to spread out again. Here, this might just be 1 year, and that's 5 years for Alice, and then back. Okay? And then to figure out the total elapsed time for Bob, this is, remember, his watch is just like an odometer. We just count up all these tick marks over here. Okay? And we'll find that clearly there are less tick marks than for Alice, and so Bob has aged less. And in general, if we have a curved trajectory like that, to figure out how much time, so here's space according to Alice, here's time according to Alice, times c. Okay, and here's Bob inside some spaceship, which is moving around, moving this way, then that way, and so on in her space. And so what we do is we just divide Bob's world line into a whole bunch of small little straight line segments, and then we make a little triangle at each one of those little. We make a triangle whose hypotenuse is each one of those little segments. Okay, so to figure out the amount of time elapsed for Bob inside his spaceship between that event and that event, when Bob is at this location at this time versus when he's at a further out location at a later time, according to Alice, we just take the square of this minus the square of this square root. And that gives us the amount of time elapsed for Bob during that little segment. Okay, and then we look at the next segment. We draw another right triangle like that. And we say, well, how far did Bob go during that time in Alice's frame? Well, that's that. How much time did it take according to Alice? Well, that's that side. We take that squared minus that squared, and that gives us that distance, and so on. What kind of mathematics do you think we would need to calculate that total time? Calculus, integral calculus. Okay, so if you know calculus, you can do those sorts of calculations. The point here is that special relativity has no trouble with accelerated observers. And it's very important that that's the case, and we will see so tomorrow. We will see an example of a really cool example of accelerated observers and what that means in terms of general relativity. Yeah.
So when one decelerates, time flows. It should balance.
Yeah, so the acceleration is associated with the slowing of time, yeah.
So deceleration is times both?
No, it's just the magnitude of the acceleration. It doesn't matter the direction. Oh. And we will see an example of an accelerated observer tomorrow for whom time is moving more slowly relative to a non-accelerated observer. Yeah.
So, actually, my original question over here.
Sorry, did you? Yes, we would have both.
Because it's the same thing. Alice would be looking at Bob's cluster, therefore she would see a bit from the past of Bob's group. She wouldn't see what was happening now, but the past.
Right.
She would also see the timeline.
Yes. So there's actually a great exercise that you should look at. So it asks you to draw. So here's your twin paradox like this. Here's your twin going out and coming back and all that. And it asks you to consider sending light signals, Alice sending light signals over to Bob, and vice versa. And how many light signals they receive in a given amount of time, which is related to time dilation and this Doppler shift. Yeah, you'll see all that stuff come up. Yeah, but we can't really talk about that properly until we talk about relativity of simultaneity, which,
during the visit, compared to other time passing at the same rate, but wouldn't their time not pass at the same rate considering different gravitational fields?
Yes, but just like here, so we use the words Alice is on Earth and Bob thinks it's a planet X. But what we really mean is Alice is in empty space over here, and Bob visits a point of empty space over there. So the entire thing happens in empty space. So we're not. So as soon as you put matter in there, that matter warps the space and it changes everything. And you need to talk about general relativity. So we're just restricting to special relativity. So we're ignoring the gravitational effects due to the mass of the Earth and the planets. Okay, so. So I want to get to relativity of simultaneity, because that's really, really cool stuff. Okay, so are we almost out of blackboards? Do I have to actually erase?